Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rebecca F. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 18th, 2017, and this is our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in Chapter 7, Working with Others, on page 100, paragraphs 2 and 3. We will be reading and commenting on both paragraphs, which begin, "When working with a man through is worth any amount of criticism." Today's readers are June S., Nancy H., Larry K., Jane E., and Deborah S. Our newcomer greeter is Robin S., the reference number for yesterday's Sunday, September 17th, 2017's special edition meeting is 10441. That's 10441. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask June S. to grace us with reading the 12 Steps of OA.
Good morning. This is June S., and thank you for everyone's love and service at the convention. The 12 Steps of OA. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, saw through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, Rebecca, for your service, and have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you for yours, June S., and probably everybody on the line knows now that my neighborhood's garbage pickup day is Monday morning. Sorry for all that noise. I did close my windows. I will now ask Nancy H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy H., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, who's also very peaceful from our wonderful weekend together. The 12 traditions, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the privilege of doing service.
Thank you, Nancy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 7, Working with Others, on page 100. Paragraphs 2 and 3. We will be reading and commenting on both paragraphs, which begin with, when working with a man, through, is worth any amount of criticism. I will now ask Larry K. to start things off.
Good morning, Rebecca. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you, Larry K.
Okay, thanks for your service, thanks. Rebecca. I appreciate that. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. They may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do, or you may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. If you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. In this way, you can set them on the right track without becoming critical of them. The story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. Okay, let me set my timer. Bear with me here. This is a process. It has been for me. When working with others, I try to become more patient you know, that can be a challenge for me. But I've been able, through by the grace of God and through this action program, I've been able to become more patient and more empathetic when I'm working with others. And sometimes I've had the opportunity to speak to their family. You know, what I try to focus on is, again, that this is a process, and we really move. I've noticed with me, I've moved more from what was a very fixed mindset, more to a growth mindset, a mindset where I'm open to the possibilities that God has for me and has had for me. And, you know, what strikes me in the second paragraph too is, you know, the story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. You know, I've been married and divorced twice, both before I ever came into program. And my first marriage, we had my daughter, Beth, and, you know, and that was, you know, that was, I was a different guy. There was a reason why she wanted a divorce. And, you know, when I sort of came to in this program and began to change, I had a different mindset. It wasn't fixed anymore. And I saw some of the reasons. And I share that a lot with other people. And I can share it with an open heart today to say, you know, when I went through this process, you know, that relationship with, you know, with my ex-wife, it's a beautiful relationship today. It's a relationship of friendship, of co-parenting. That's all, you know, all the amount of therapy and the different things and the books and the synthetic knowledge, none of that worked. What I really needed was a spiritual transformation to be able to see those things. And when I did, I began to change as a man, you know, and as I changed, people noticed. Now, they didn't notice right away, you know, but over time, when you see the consistency of a person that shows up and you can see their heart and you watch their behaviors, right? You watch their behaviors. And I think she and many others began to see that my behaviors changed. And that's the beauty of this program. And that's what I convey to the newcomer, to their family, that people can change. But I had to, through God's help and through this action program, I had to change my conception of that yes, God can change us, but we have to take the actions through these steps. And this process made it so that today, wrapping up, I'll tell you that today, and my daughter has grown up not knowing, you know, not knowing the strain of a relationship, you know, between me and her mother. I respect her mother through action. And that's what I convey. And that's a very powerful message. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry Kay. Who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Janice M.
Dorita P.
Dorita P.
Beth B.
Was it Beth B?
Beth B as in boy.
I got it. Beth and Vasa O.
Minky W.
Okay. Did I miss anybody? Janice M., Dorita P., Beth B., Vasa O.,
Barbara
W.
E.
Barbara E. Okay. We'll go with the six of you to start. I can't believe I heard everybody. Janice M., please go ahead.
Well, good morning to you, Rebecca, and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Well, this particular paragraph is teaching us, especially me, some skills here in sponsoring and living. Number one. Oops.
Hold on a second, Janice.
Sure.
Perhaps one of the six of you who unmuted needs to mute, or someone else. There's some static or noise in the background. Can you start over, Janice?
Why, sure. Thank you. I'm just saying that, you know, this paragraph is so teaching me, and it's still teaching me, how to sponsor and how to listen. Ooh, what a technique that is, to listen, to share my experience, and to pray. Because, see, I'm an impulsive person. I want to get right in there and tell you how to do it, tell you how how to do your problems, be the doctor, be the psychotherapist, you know, this sort of thing. And this is not my job. This is not my job. So if I could listen more and listen and then share not what they have to do, but the miracle of my life has been, you know, with my husband, with my son, circumstances occur, and how I have to listen more to him. I mean, he gives me very good practice, let me tell you, because right away I want to say, no, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be eating this, you know, this sort of thing. So working with someone in their family, listen to them. Share, if you've been in that predicament, I share what happened to me. Oh, I don't even have my timer on. Are you timing me, Rebecca? I don't know. So it reminds me to not get involved. Yeah. Thank you, hon. Focus on myself. Give them hope that, yeah, you know what? I've been married for 53 years, and I was going to leave my husband in 5 years. He wasn't the man, but I was in my disease, and I didn't want the responsibility, and I had a child. And to see that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, it's here again, we emphasize what we have done. And listen to them. There's nothing. That's a hard technique and a hard skill for me to do. And if I've been successful, through the grace of God, it's not my success. It was the success of my higher power implementing these steps that I am successful today. We're still together. I mean, that's a miracle. We're still together after all this time. And, it is an art. I'm not going to participate in any of my friends, my sponsees' life in their quarrels. Because, you know, sometimes they have the quarrels and then they get back together. All I can do is share my own experience here. And impulsive, trying to help a fellow compulsive overeater. I've given in a lot of times to impulse. To give advice, you know, and it's inevitable. It won't work. The best I can do is to listen and let them find their higher power to give them that little voice that's going to tell them what to do. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice M. Dorita P.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Dorita P. from Cleveland. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm exhausted still from the convention, but had a wonderful, wonderful time. So this is a very important part. So I've never been married, but I can share on the relationships I've been in, and that's what I pass on to my sponsees or newcomers, just my experience, and I let them know that I've learned so much about relationships in Overeaters Anonymous. I tell them that I used to date mostly, if not all, of my boyfriends were practicing alcoholics or drug addicts or both, and we tried to make that work, but it didn't work for me or for them. Definitely for me. And I say that the relationship I'm in today. This guy and this relationship. Well, this relationship is the healthiest relationship that I've ever been in my life, and he's about the healthiest person. I told him recently that you're probably the, I don't know if I say healthy. I think I said normal. You're about the most normal person I know, male or female. So I'm just really grateful for this program. And a friend of mine, she says, Dorita, like, these are not her exact words, but she said, Dorita, I like to watch you and my boyfriend, you and so-and-so. And to overcome our difficulties. And I say relationships are work. I didn't realize how much work they are, you know, with the healthy relationship. So I'm just really grateful for this program. Thank you for your service. And it was real wonderful. It was wonderful meeting everybody, 700, almost 800 people, not everybody, but the people I met. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Beth B.
Good morning, everybody. This is Beth B., a recovering compulsive overeater in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I'm going to make my share relatively short because I'm still in recovery, and I'm currently working step four, but I wanted to share with everyone how being in touch with a sponsor who actually works the program from the big book has made a big difference in my recovery, because I've had two sponsors, and the first sponsor didn't work through the big book the way that you do on a vision. So what these paragraphs are saying to me basically is that when you have and I definitely went through this. I am married to a wonderful man, but when I had first came into recovery, I was sick, and my character defects were rearing their ugly head, and we were having a lot of contention in our relationship. And you know, so just reading defects of character not going to disappear overnight, that gave me a tremendous amount of hope, and it's something that I would maybe later on down the road, of when I do sponsor someone, I would point that out, and that we're all, you know, we need to focus on our side of the street. And that's something that I am starting to embrace, that I have a part in everything. And a lot of times when I would call my previous sponsor and complain about what my husband was doing or what he was saying or what, you know, the last thing that I could do to be helpful, I guess, would be to commiserate with that person and maybe just point out that, you know, to work in inventory maybe, and you know, because that's what's worked for me, is to actually think about my part in all of it. And I would also like to share that today, as I, you know, read in the big book here about how my life will change if I work this program, my marriage has changed, not because I forced the change, but because I'm allowing the instructions and I'm allowing the process to take its natural course, and not trying to be the orchestrator of all of the changes that I think need to be made. And so I just wanted to share that as my perspective, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beth B. Vasa O.
Good morning, everyone. It's Vasa. Thank you, Rebecca, for your service. And the convention was awesome, and I still feel like I'm on fire. It was so nice to meet everybody that, you know, that I have heard on the voices over the phone in the morning, and see them face to face. And some of them, I saw them for the second time, so I was just blessing. So reading the two paragraphs today, what I heard, you know, at the beginning of my program was, this was a process from my sponsor, and to be gentle and enjoy the process, the changes were going to happen through my higher power and working the 12 steps, and just enjoy. And for me, just to sit for about an hour, or an hour and a half, to listen to, you know, the promises, and to listen to the steps and studying steps, because I was such a busy person. I was always running and doing, and for me just to sit down and listen was like a gift from God. I wanted to speed the process. I was going to a lot of meetings, and I wanted to know who this higher power was that was doing to me that I couldn't do for myself, especially, you know, getting the abstinence at the beginning that I tried to accomplish for 25 years I couldn't do. It's not like I didn't try. I tried and failed. And then I was ready and willing to surrender and to the program, surrender to, you know, my higher power, to God, the steps, and just go. And I'm not saying everything was just beautiful going through it, but I was abstinent going through whatever I was going through. And the second paragraph was, I did complain a lot about my husband. He was not the person I wanted him to be. And then, of course, I took the inventory of myself and what was good in the relationship and what was not so good, and how I settled for less. I remember saying, well, I settled for less than what I deserved. Well, he was living with compulsive overeater, too. I was not a saint, either. But I did start setting boundaries, and I started speaking up for myself because I was suffering with a lot of fears. I grew up in a home, you know, in a very, very strict home, you know, and I was taught, you got to listen to your husband, do whatever he says, otherwise he's going to abandon you, he's going to leave you. And those were just lies that I heard, and I believed in those lies, but, it, you know, those were just trying to be lies. But anyways, my relationship with my husband today is the best than ever. I left him for a little while. We went back. We worked at it. And we would be married 50 years this month. 11/11/1967. So it's because I have changed. He hasn't changed because of the changes that my higher power has done with me over the years. And thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. Minky W.
Hi, good morning, Rebecca. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone who made the convention possible. So this is really incredible, these paragraphs. It talks about giving us instructions and how to be of service to other people and be of service to my sponsee in particular. Not to get involved in their, you know, nitty-gritties of their life and nitty-gritties of their problems. And because, like people have shared, I'm not the be-all and end-all, and I don't know how to solve their problems. And the thing that I find most comforting in this paragraph is that you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. And I have found for myself that I'm a very willful person and very impatient, and I want my defects of character removed yesterday. And I'm learning slowly through this program and through the people who have walked this path before me that it's in God's time and not in my time. And, you know, not in Minky's time. It's whenever God decides that it's time for my character defects to slowly disappear. And it's a period of growth. That's what it is. And so through that experience that I, you know, get from other people, I can pass on that message of recovery. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Minky W. Barbara E.
Can you hear me, everyone?
I hear you, Barbara E.
Oh,
we hear
wonderful.
You.
We hear you. Wonderful. It was wonderful. This weekend was amazing. The people who worked from program and the people who were at the Marriott were just so wonderful. The fellow just before me said just what I was going to say in that paragraph. Be careful not to participate in your quarrels. Don't take sides. That's not right. Point out that defects of character are not going to disappear overnight, and they will reappear again. And ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of sobriety. That's so important. I've been married 50 years now, It's been wonderful. I wouldn't have taken the ride with another person, but certainly there have been bumps along the way. For me, I've learned, and I share with the sponsee, if appropriate, to remember to say to my husband, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I don't know, I need help, I love you, what can I do to help you? I'll think about it. I need to remember to be tolerant, loving, listening, and you may be right. You may be right. That's so important for me. And I do it imperfectly. So I am constantly making a living amends. I don't say when I was intolerant, Neil, I harmed you. I was intolerant of you. I promise I won't do it again. I don't do that because I may not be able to do that tomorrow. So it's a living amends for me. And I will say this, if appropriate, to someone who asks, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I don't know, I need help, I love you. You could be right. Thank you so much. It was wonderful. I'm so happy to see there are so many people awake today and on this meeting. I learned that if you hit star 0, you can find out the number of people. Amazing. Take care. Have a blessed day. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Barbara E. We read two paragraphs on page 100. They were the second and third paragraphs when working with a man. Who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Anita J.
Lisa B.
Anita J.
Leslie B. W.
Leah M.
Melissa
C.
Leah M. Melissa C. Thanks for waiting for me. Was there anyone else? Okay. Anita J., go right ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Anita J. I just found my earbuds. I thought, I can't share unless I have my earbuds on. I found them. I'm recovered out here in Massachusetts. Wonderful weekend. And I didn't meet everybody that I already knew, but oh my, the people I did meet. Brand new people. I've got all these pictures, and anyway, and one other thing is that I had a small part in a skit, and you wouldn't believe what my name was. It was Janice. Never mind. That's an inside joke. You know what? But back to working with others, families, I now have a message of what it's like to be part of a team in a marriage. And I'm glad my husband lived long enough that we experienced communication. Communication, you know, it was always talking at, you know, at one point when I was willing to hear it, he said the reason he doesn't communicate is because I'm always right. And that's after I got rocketed. I tell you, things change in a marriage and in other relationships. And so now I speak of my experience, the ins and outs. You know, after 25 years, I was leaving him. I said in 6 weeks, I have to get a job. I'd gone back to school, gotten a master's. I did that before I joined OA. But now I had a career, I could support myself, and the doggone guy changed. Anyway, the point is, we stuck through it all, and that's one of the last things he said before he died. He goes, "We made it, Joe," and that means he and I had a playful nature when we weren't hating each other. And we became, the last, say, 5, 6, 7 years, Joe. I was Joe and he was Joe. You know, that tells you something about a marriage. A marriage where when I first joined OA, I said he was a cross between Adolf Hitler and a prick. Isn't that incredible? And I'm telling you, please, everybody, stay with this program because it's life-changing. I'm kind of a role model now for my family on not how I used to be like. That wasn't much of a role model. Anyway, I think 3 minutes has to be passing by now. I'm just very grateful to have been there, and I wish I'd seen you, Vasa. She came to his wake. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anita J. Lisa B.
Good morning. This is Lisa B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you for your service, Rebecca. And this is a very powerful reading for me. It gives me a lot of hope because I remember reading with my sponsor when we were in More About Alcoholism. I felt so much hope when it says, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems, and that includes my relationship problems. And, you know, I have to remember that line here where we read this morning, show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. And I have to remember that for myself, I am on a period of growth always. I'll never arrive. And that my sponsee, the people that I'm working with, they're on a period of growth. I don't really have an opportunity to share with their families, but I can share that with them. And when I start demanding perfectionism of myself and when am I going to get this and also demand that of them, I have to surrender them, put them in that third step, that they have their own higher power, that I'm just a vessel carrying the message. And then when I start demanding of myself such perfectionism and when am I going to arrive, I need to get back in the right size. And I found step 12 in the AA 12 and 12 so helpful because it goes into a lot about emotional security when we get to this step. And that's been a key thing for me in my relationship with my husband, and that's something I can share with my sponsees that are married. You know, I remember sharing with my sponsor, what about all these other problems? How are they all going to get worked out? And that's when that line and More About Alcoholism, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I'm able to work these steps with the grace of my higher power, entirely abstinent, get through the steps, complete my 9-step amends daily, actively live in step 10, 11, and 12. I have found this to be so true. And then when it comes into this emotional security, which has been a deep thing for me with my husband and really with my relationship with the world and everyone, it says, after we have come into AA, if we go on growing, our attitudes and actions towards security, emotional security, financial security, commence to change profoundly. Our demand for emotional security for our own way has constantly thrown us into unworkable relationships with other people. And I found that to be so true. That's in the AA step 12. And that's what I wanted to share because that's my experience in my relationship with my husband and my world and the character defects. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Lisa B. Leslie W.
Thank you. This is Leslie W. Thank you for your service this morning. Recovered in Tennessee. If you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. I could not let this paragraph go by without sharing a little bit of my story because there's been so much reconciliation and restoration in my marriage since I began this program nearly 8 years ago. And I don't say what I'm about to say to paint my husband in a bad light. He's a good man. He's a very good man. but when I first came into program, I remember that he would refuse to watch our baby. I had a 3-4-month-old baby, and I would have to break my anonymity to go to meetings with neighbors and friends because he didn't want me to go to meetings. He used to write the calorie contents on top of peanut butter jars for me to see in the middle of the night. And he used to say to me, I can't stay married to a woman who has to go to Overeaters Anonymous. Now, that was almost 8 years ago, and I am still married to this man today. Our relationship is not perfect. We still have arguments, and I still say and do things that are hurtful, and he still says and does things that are hurtful sometimes. But I went to the convention, and before I left, this man said to me, baby, I want you to go and have a great time. I totally support you, and I love you, and I'm happy to stay here and take care of our children. And that is a miracle, because he has seen the benefit of what this program has done for me, what it has done for our relationship, and what it has done for our family. And there is no reason that anybody listening on this line cannot have that too, if you work these steps.
Thank you, Leslie W. Leah M.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Rebecca, for your service. If you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. You know, don't underestimate the power of the process of these 12 steps. And that's a responsibility that I have as a sponsor to share with them that this program is far more than the mere elimination of my binge foods. This program of recovery is life-changing. It's a restoration of my life. It's a rehabilitation of my life, and nothing short of that. You know, we are essentially those of us in whom the problem have been solved, who have been transformed, are like, you know, it's like a show-and-tell operation, and we have an obligation, whether we're, you know, speaking to the family, and I certainly have many opportunities that I have done that, or with the newcomers, that this program is life-changing. And there will be a profound change in personality. Don't underestimate that. We never become perfect, but we sure do make incredible progress. Our lives do become happy, joyous, and free, and we continue, when pressed into the steps, to to continue to awaken and feel a progressive shift in our consciousness with God, our God consciousness. I tell my sponsees, buckle your seatbelt, because you're in for quite a ride. Because, you know, I came from, discussions of divorce in 1987, and, you know, the family knew, both sides of the family knew that we were, contemplating that. And, I got to the point where I was sitting across from someone in whom the problem had been solved, who shared with me how their lives had been changed. The process had allowed them to overcome their excessive concentration upon themselves, and that the steps were going to be the roto-rooter that was going to clean out the sludge blocking the sunlight of my spirit, and we were going to have access to that light. And I was taken by the hand and led through these steps. And let me tell you, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Now, recovery isn't, an event. It is a process. But it's possible. And it happens. And you have no idea, that is going to happen, but it happens. Of course, my life still has challenges. I still encounter speed bumps along the way, but I now have adequate shock absorbers to smooth out the ride because I'm equipped with a way of life beyond my imagination that works in all situations. I'm just wrapping up. You know, we read it every closing of each meeting. The answers will come if our own house is in order. And that works for me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah M. Melissa C.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., compulsive overeater recovered in New York. And Yeah, I just want to quickly say thank you because this weekend was phenomenal. And, you know, so but my defects and all the people that did the work for it, just tremendously beautiful. But my defects, you know, my defects still exist. And what I can share with people that I work with is my truth, how I work my program of recovery. And so on this beautiful weekend, you know, I woke up Sunday morning and, you know, right before I started prayer and meditation, I was aware that I was anticipating a mess when I came home. And I was like starting to feel a resentment towards my loving family that happily were, carrying on, I want to say like letting me go and do my thing, but yeah, letting me go do my thing. And I'm grateful to hear someone else share there, you know, just now about the transformation that's occurred in my own family. That when I first started going to meetings like 8 years ago, my husband would be really annoyed. It was a Saturday morning, and he had to mow the lawn then. And I remember that was a real obstacle in us. And, you know, and so what's different? Like, everything is different. He's got a different life. You know, so when I came home yesterday, and I had, you know, worked through, so I came in the door with a different mindset, not coming in looking for what was going to be out of place, but coming in looking for what was right. And I was going to ignore the mess. I had already decided, like, who cares? You know, I've got a family that loves me. And so when I came in full of love and excitement and enthusiasm and sharing just the power of my weekend, my husband said to me, that's great. You should do these things more often. And, like, what a change, you know. And so that's what I want to share with people. It's, we don't take our, you know, when somebody that I work with tells me of a problem in their family, I don't take sides. I'm not taking their side. But I'm going to point them to our spiritual solution is to grow in other, you know, other centered. And we can do that with our family first. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. We have time for two or three more shares. Who would like the slots?
This is Naomi B.
Cynthia C.
Daniel M.
Cynthia C.
Okay, hold on. I got a little distracted there. I heard Naomi B, and I hate to say it, but I know this was out of order. I heard Janice B.
Devorah F.
Lauren N.
Cynthia C.
I'm sorry, and I'm just going to put Devorah F. And I think that's all we'll have time for. Naomi, Janice, and Devorah. Naomi, could you go right ahead?
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. All I can say is, wow. Okay, back to the story. It's very interesting. I like what they say here. It says, if you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems. Thank you, God, I will be married to my husband next month, 40 years. And that man doesn't change. My reaction to him has changed. I had the honor earlier this summer of traveling. And I came home, and I was all excited, and he picked me up from the airport, and I'm starting to share about my trip, and then he had to stop, and he's screaming at different drivers, shut me right down. What I've learned in this program is I keep my expectations rock bottom, so my serenity remains high. And so I already had my, and as with the rest of my family, no one asked me how the trip was. So when I was coming home, riding home from this wonderful, fabulous weekend, I thought to myself, I'm not going to say a word. I know in my head, I know in my heart what I shared. And keeping all this in perspective, working this program. Before program, I would have gone off like in a banshee. How dare you not want to know what my selfish, my life was like, my weekend was like, me. It's not that way today. I have, thank you, God, the neutrality around the food. But equally, if not more so, I have the sanity in my head. Just another quick example. I was out driving and I parked the car. I got out of the car. My husband was in the back driveway. He said, let me have the keys. I knew in my brain I did not park the car to his liking. Got out of the car, handed him the keys, and walked in the house. What a transformation. And I try to pass these little examples on to my sponsees, so when things come up in their home, which they will every day, there's another way of handling it, a more sane way that, God forbid, would not drive the person into the food. Thank you so much for sharing, and God bless everyone that put on an amazing, amazing conference. Sign me up. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thanks, Naomi B. Janice B.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Janice B., compulsive overeater from Vermont. I read these paragraphs last night, and when I woke up this morning, what was in my head was trust. And looking at the paragraphs again, it's all about, this is sponsee work, it's all about trust and hope. So it says, we should take care not to participate in their quarrels. Okay, so it's quarrel between in family, but you know that can expand to any quarrel, right? And the thing is, I don't have the answer for I'm not my sponsee's God. They need to, what we're teaching them is to go to their higher power and start that relationship with their higher power. Start listening and then pass it by us, the sponsor, for checking it out, like the big book says on, I don't know what page, but, you know, maybe at the beginning, it might be a little crazy, but that's my job. That's their job, to go to their higher power. And my job is to direct them to do that. And also, where it says, ask them to remember when they're impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. There's the hope, you know. Instead of focusing on the problem by getting embroiled in their arguments and causing and giving solutions, that's staying in the problem and helping them to get in touch with gratitude for where they're at is the solution, focusing on the solution. And I always say, like, look for the light in any darkness, look for the light, because it's always there. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Janice B. Devora S., you'll be our last person to share for this hour.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, and everyone on the line. My name is Devora S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, well, what a high, you know, coming home yesterday, and I had to remember, you know, let me keep that high as I walk in my house and I greet my family. And actually, nobody was home when I came home. But when my family did walk in, you know, my daughter ran to me and gave me this big hug, and, Daddy, look who's home. And it was so excitement, the excitement, like, you know, like coming to the convention and meeting all the people there. It was so exciting to get that warm welcome from my family. And I have to remember that it used to not be like that. You know, when I walked in the door, I was like that roaring tornado, you know, roaring, you know, wondering what's going on here and why is this and why is that. And, you know, and many years ago, I remember calling up member in OA and complaining and dumping on her and saying, you know, my husband this, my husband that, and why not this, and how come this, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I really thought that she was going to take my side. You know, it says here in the book, you know, be careful not to participate in other people's quarrels. I thought she was going to say, yeah, Devorah, yeah, you're right. You really need, you know, yeah, that sounds right. The divorce sounds like a good idea, you know. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say, you know, what she did say was, you know, OA does not endorse divorce. You know, we need to, like, you need to look at yourself and see, you know, what you can do here to make your relationship better. You know, keep the eyes on your own plate. And, you know, she said, urge upon a man's family that he's a sick person and should be treated accordingly. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to pray for my husband, like he was dying, like sick and dying. And I kept my mouth shut from then on, and I just prayed for him. And you know, I just prayed. And you know, little by little, things got better. And that is a miracle. So grateful for the people in this program who've gone before me, who does not take my side and say, but looks past that and gives me the right answers. I know for me, I you know, I thought that, you know, I was right and I was justified and I, you know, I had all the answers because after all, I was in program and I was recovered and I wasn't eating and I lost all this weight. But that was nothing compared to the work ahead of me, where I had to pick up this book and follow the directions. And that's when the miracle started. And today, you know, every day I have to follow that each day. I have to look at the good. I have to show up. I have to keep my mouth shut. And thank you all, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Devorah S. Thank you, everyone, for your participation in this meeting and for the opportunity to be of service. The reference number for this meeting, Monday, September 18th, 2017, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 10443. That's 10443. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jane B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. To the end of the page.
Hi, this is Jane B. from Florida. Great conference. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.